Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your air conditioning or furnace stops working in the middle of the night, on a weekend, or over a holiday, there's no reason to wait to get it fixed. Because Atlas Butler's always open, and we never charge any overtime or after-hours fees.
The Atlas Butler family is here to keep your family safe and comfortable. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This feeling that I've been here before. I got this feeling that I've been here before.
What? It's We Knows Parenting. Hi,
what's
I'm
that?
Peter McNerney.
What?
That's Beth Newell. That's my wife. Co-hosts in life and in podcasting. What am I talking about?
You shouldn't be allowed to intro.
I was just on an exercise bike.
You're tired. You've had an emotionally exhausting day.
Yes, thank you for recognizing that. Well, everyone, I got bad blood pressure, and I'm taking drugs for it now. And it was a real we're all gonna die type of couple days where I realized how bad my blood pressure is. Went in 6 months ago, and the doctor's like, not great. Let's see if we can fix it. And I was like, I'm on it. 3 months, I lost 10 pounds, never felt so good. And then all of it went away for no reason other than life and children and other equally lame excuses.
But your blood pressure's not horrible. It's just, like, kind of bad.
No. Like, it's no, it's horrible. It's horrible. And cholesterol's not good either. But you know what? I need to be shamed and I need to be shocked into permanent changes, and here we go. Boy, you know what? It's been one day of not overeating, and I feel good already. Luckily, I'm still healthy. Nothing's ruined.
Can I
just
tell
eat like crap?
Sitcom moment that happened tonight, which is that
sure.
You had told me what the doctor told you, and that you're supposed to be eating more fish and other things, and on the way home, I went and got shrimp, which is your favorite kind of fish. Ugh. And I texted you, do we have garlic? And you were like, why? And I was like, for shrimp. And then you were like, can't eat shrimp.
It's like cholesterol city. Shrimp is like one of the worst for cholesterol, as are eggs. My two favorite things in the world. If you're interested in, if I didn't think about it at all, I would only eat meat. Cheese, shrimp, eggs, and more cheese. And that's, you know, that's not sustainable as an adult man. So I'm back on it.
I'm excited to eat more fish. I want to be eating more fish. I just don't take the time during the week to go procure fish.
Well, you know, over at our local salad restaurant, they had a salmon bowl on brown rice and asparagus with avocado. That was delightful. It was 350 calories.
Fish
that was my
good.
Day. Yeah. So I'm going to eat that probably every single day for a year.
Someone told me that they feed their kids for dinner tinned fish and that they get this fancy Kohl's tinned fish and they get mackerel, which is low in mercury compared to tuna fish. And it's also pretty sustainable. And I was like, maybe I'll just eat that every day and then I cannot think about what I'm eating.
Well, I saw that. I had some that was pretty good, but there's a ton of salt in there. I can't eat anything. No salt.
I never know what to actually believe about what the doctors are telling you, though. Like, I feel like they...
It's pretty simple.
I don't know.
It's just, if it's delicious, it's killing me. Anyway.
But, like, there's some, like, good fats are good for you.
Sure, it's all moderation. It's all just how much of week, how much of this, what kind. And I'm learning more and more, and I know what I need to eat. And it's depressing. And, anyway... The rest of the week was really great. Should we talk about... first of all...
Was the rest of the week really great?
Oh, maybe it was terrible. Was it terrible?
It was a mixture. I feel good about our family this week, and I feel like on edge about the world.
Well, you know what I feel great about? My wife took me on a date.
Oh, yeah. That was a highlight.
Was this because of Father's Day, or is this something you were going
to
do anyway?
This was your Father's Day present. I told you I've been trying to learn how to lean into the love language of gifts.
Beth?
And...
gifts is not high up, but I really, really appreciated it.
Yeah. I mean...
Beth took me to a show.
We went to see a Broadway show.
Would it...
Come From Away.
It was very good.
It was great. And... I just hit just the right nerve for me of like cheesiness, uplifting, like,
and just not too much 9/11.
Yeah, not as much 9/11 as I thought there might be going in.
But there is a little.
The thing is, it's a Broadway show that's sort of like about coming together as a community and supporting each other, and it was like so heartwarming to watch this community in the play. And then to, like, go back to reality where our country is, like, torturing children, it was like, Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? Like that's how I feel like this week has been.
Yeah, I've been off my phone, so I'm not as deep into it as you are right now, just because I'm trying to...
I just can't... I feel like I can't look away because it's, like, so... like, it hits, like, every nerve of, like...
yeah, well, I can't not come across it, and I'm desperately trying not to look at anything. It's still there.
But I'm not, like, I'm just trying to look at it in a way where I'm like, how can I help? I'm not trying to, like, I don't want to try not to look at it. Like,
oh, no. I feel like we have a responsibility
with the track our country is currently on multiple levels. I'm like, we should be invested and scared for what's happening right now.
I was avoiding my phone for general mental health reasons.
But like,
avoiding a specific topic.
I'm just trying to say, in terms of my mental state right now, like the stuff with the camps is happening, and we like almost went to war. And this was literally the day after we watched Come From Away, which is this musical about coming together as a community and like not jumping to conclusions against people. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, literally, it's just like, yeah.
You know what? There are some real highs and lows this week, because then later in the week, Bryn graduated pre-K.
Yeah, it was a very up and down week emotionally. Bryn's pre-K ceremony was great. He did great.
If you listeners will recall, that he had a concert earlier in the year. It was his first time in front of a crowd. And I was so excited. So I was like, my boy, natural performer. He's going to crush it. And he was, of course, the one out of 50 kids to cry his way through the entire performance.
Yeah. But this time, it took him a minute to warm up to it this time. But then he started to get comfortable on stage, and he was like really going for it with the last song.
Yeah. He'd also get sidetracked and yawn. And
yeah,
he also
like they took a break in the middle of songs to give kids their like little pre-K diplomas, and so during that part, which is kind of boring, he like suddenly like came alive as like the peanut gallery and was like joking with his friends on stage while they're trying to hand out diplomas, and he's like. Like, he would just, like, repeat the name of the kid who just, like, crossed the stage. He'd
like,
be like,
Michael.
Joey. But, yeah, he...
That was fascinating to see him in his natural sort of, like, social element.
Yeah.
From a distance, where he's
funny.
Just, like, the way he talks to his friends. And, yeah,
he's
not afraid.
Well, because he's just the kind of kid that, like, loves to have friends. Like, that's... it's so funny to watch him, like, meet people. Because I took him to a party at my aunt's house, who he doesn't really know, and it was a pool party, so he got to swim in the pool. And he both Maven and him were asleep when we got there, so he was really cranky and didn't want to get out of the car. And then when he slowly realized he was just, like, hanging out in a backyard with a pool and, like, all the snacks he wants, he was like, this is so great. And he starts, like, schmoozing, like, other kids. Like, he's just...
you took some great pictures.
He's eating it up. He was, so yeah, at one point he was like walking alongside the pool with his little binoculars that he has, and he was like bossing around my cousin and her cousin. They're younger than me. And
we're at 18.
Yeah. Well, my cousins are younger than me, and then their cousin is younger than them.
Oh, their cousin.
So they were like diving for rings. And so Bryn does his usual thing where he doesn't understand a game, but he gets really into it anyways. And he's like, get the rings, guys. You got to go faster. We got to get these rings. Like, he's like,
not understanding the game has never stopped Bryn from
he's just
telling,
like,
you how to do it.
Little coach on the sidelines. And
the
he's
picture you took of him where he's in full like shorts and he's got the binoculars around his neck and his socks are pulled up high. He looks like Uncle Bryn, who's like assigned himself lifeguard duty.
Yeah. For sure.
Check him out on Instagram. Oh my God, so much happened this week. Okay, and then this week, so he's got two more days of school. Weirdly, daycare decided to be off all of this week, but there's three more days of school. Doesn't matter. And so I'm home alone with the kids pretty much a lot of this week. And today was the first day where I was home all day after I got back from the doctor with my heart medicine. It's not heart medicine, it's blood pressure. And we walked to school, and Maven today walked all the way to school and all the way back, which for an adult is 15-minute walk. For a little girl is longer. We walked all the way there, dropped off Bryn, walked all the way back, hung out here for a while, then walked all the way there again, picked up Rin, then walked to the grocery store, got a few little things, and walked all the way back. And Maven made it.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
They make it, and then sometimes they just, like, crash later, and emotionally they're, like, the worst. Like...
Oh, they crashed big time tonight. I sent Bryn to his room for an hour.
Yeah. I was impressed because at the barbecue yesterday, at the party, they, like, ate so much sugar the whole time, and that, like, Bryn had like cake, and then someone was like, oh, there's ice cream, so instead of getting a plate of ice cream, he then got ice cream and then a second bowl of ice cream. And I was just like trying not to make it like a thing, because I'm like, whatever, it's one day, let him learn what a stomach ache feels like, you know what I mean?
Let him learn what a stomach
like
ache feels
I well because
like.
I keep like threatening him, like, sometimes it's good, I think, when he occasionally has a stomach ache, because when I keep threatening it to like explain why you can't just like gorge yourself on food, he doesn't
believe it.
Appreciate the reality. So anyway, he was doing that, and then him and Maven insisted on holding a like container of cookies on the ride home, which of course they then started eating and like sharing with each other. And so they just had so much sugar. And then I got home like close to 9 p.m. and they had both, like, Maven had fallen asleep, and I had managed to keep Bryn awake for the last 10 minutes of the car ride by being like, what's going on at school? And like just keeping him alert, because
yeah.
I was like, if he passes out, he's going to like flip out on me, and then we'd have two kids to drag inside.
Ugh.
Anyway.
Yeah, we went to the grocery store, and like I couldn't get that much because I didn't have a car. And so I just wanted to grab some bread and stuff, and as soon as we got in the store, Bryn takes off and Maven takes off right after him. And I was like, ugh. And I didn't want to scream because it was full. And I was like, I'm just going to let them go wherever they go. And I just like rushed to grab bananas and bread and chicken and stuff. And then like I look and I see them like flash by an aisle. And I was like, ugh. And I'm doing that speed walking thing where I'm like going as fast as I can, but I don't want anyone to look at me. So I'm like,
yeah. Ugh.
And then I grab him and I'm like, you know, and I get quiet and serious.
Yeah.
And I was like, you stay with me. Do you understand? He's like, okay. And I go, come on, we're going over here. And then he turns and he runs the opposite direction. And I was so furious.
Yeah.
But I was like, I am too embarrassed to get mad at my children in public.
Yeah,
and then we got back home and he walked straight through the new seeded grass. And I yelled at him in front of all the landscapers. But I was doing it again. I was like, Bryn, I'm being serious, but I don't want to seem like a bad dad. And he just stood there. And I was like, you heard me. And then he finally walked over to me and he goes, I didn't hear you. I've been like talking to him for 4 minutes, and then in the end he goes, I didn't hear you.
I will say the thing about taking them out in public now is I have less fear of them like tipping over a display in the grocery store or like being quite as illogical as they would have been in the past.
Yeah, worst thing he's going to do is going to pick up a bag of chips.
Like, I'm like, okay, they're probably not going to just like wander into the street. But
Brandon has figured out how to look up and down driveways before he crosses them.
Oh, well, I was lecturing him about that one day when we walked to the playground because I was like, I just need to sear this into his brain now so I can stop yelling at him every time we get to a driveway.
Yeah, I've been doing it too. But he did it on his own today.
That's good.
It was great. Oh, Beth. We're about to go on vacation.
Yeah.
Are you, well, you're going to have a few days alone.
That's what I'm most excited about.
Is this the perfect way? Because, you know, big family vacations can be stressful for you because there's, you know, a lot of people, blah, 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 expectations, blah, 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 blah. But this seems like a perfect scenario because you're going to go on vacation with my whole family, but first you get 3 full days all by yourself.
Yeah, it's great.
Do you love me so much for doing this for you?
Yeah.
That's why I did
whatever you need me to say.
Yeah. I will do things like this just for you to say you're great.
You're so great.
Yes! They're worth it!
So you're bringing the kids to my parents for a couple days before our family vacation.
Yes. Story Pirates is performing at Wilco Solid Sound Festival in North Adams, Massachusetts this weekend.
So they emailed us and asked for food recommendations, and I'm curious to know if you think my email was too uptight about the sugar.
I didn't read it all. I wrote like 8 things.
Yeah.
I was like PB&J, bananas, with all the fruits and vegetables they like. And then you sent an essay.
Well,
and my only thought, I was not judging you at all. My only thought was, oh no, did Beth think that my email was not enough?
No, it was fine. I just get paranoid about in the heat of summer when the kids are outside all day, if the food situation is not like has some discipline to it, our kids will be like melting down with it. You know what I mean? Like,
well, in my mind, yeah, they might melt down, but we're not going to be there to deal with it.
I know, but our kids are like physically very strong and difficult when they're melting down, and my parents are going to have to like wrangle them.
That is a more thoughtful.
So I just wanted it to be like
than my email.
Here's a good strat. Now at least it's on them if they just buy like 8 tubs of ice cream, which Bryn will definitely open the lower freezer and get into and just constantly consume.
Yeah,
and.
Yeah, you know, I think you're setting them up for success, and it's gonna be great. Like, they're really excited. We've been talking it up all week. It's really confusing schedule. Like, Bryn is so into knowing what day we're doing what and what the schedule is, but it's also atypical that he's getting a little stressed about it because I'm like, so Bryn, there's no daycare this week, but you do have pre-K.
Yeah, I think that was really weird for
me. But only 3 days, and then pre-K is over. And then Thursday, there's nothing. And then Friday, you're going to Nana and Granddad's house by yourselves. Then Daddy comes back, and then we'll see Grandma and Grandpa somewhere else in Massachusetts. Then Mommy will come, and Bryn has asked me over and over to repeat this, and it's confusing.
We need to draw him a little map with the dates on it.
I did. I went to Google Earth, and I showed him. And then I zoomed all the way out to planet Earth, and then that's all he wanted to do. And I was like, no, let me show you Massachusetts. And he's like, Dad, I don't care anymore because I want to see this globe. And I got frustrated because I like to explain things. Boy. You know what Bryn started doing this week?
What?
Pulling his collar and going, ghoul.
That's wild.
And now it's time for You Knows What They Said, a segment whose title we can never remember, and I'm pretty confident we say it differently every time. But in it, we discuss something funny, interesting, I was going to say shocking or provocative.
Provocative. Thoughtful.
Thoughtful.
We talk about
noteworthy.
This is a segment where we share things our kids have said. Yeah.
Our kids say the darndest things.
We should call it that. We know they're saying the darndest things.
We know they're saying the darndest things.
From now on, we'll call it that. okay, so the one thing Bryn said to me this week was, first of all, we invented a new sandwich, which is peanut butter and bamba. Bamba are peanut butter flavored crunchy things, if you don't know. So we started putting them in peanut butter sandwiches on Bryn's suggestion, which he's very excited about.
I gotta say, I saw you do this and I was like, ooh, that's interesting. And so I was, I wanna try one. And I went in and there was only one slice of bread left and it was the butt end. So I made a half sandwich of peanut butter and bamba with all crust bread. And I took one bite and it, nothing has been in such desperate need of some jelly or something to break up the dryness of all crust.
Okay, well,
and
maybe we'll
butter.
Have to work on the recipe. All right. Well, anyway, Bryn was inventing this with me and I was like, yeah, okay, let's do it. And I put them on. And as I was doing it, he goes, drum roll, please. And he got very excited about it. And he's been doing that lately where he like does drum noises. He's like, dun, 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 dun. Like,
really?
Yeah. He's been starting to like
That's my
add
boy.
Weird emphasis. Okay. The other story is, so last weekend we hung out with our friends, Nick and Julia, all day.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Their daughter, Raya. And so at the end of that night, I think I was putting the kids to bed and for some reason it came up where I said something like where I was like, I'll be your mommy forever. And Bryn said, but what if you die? And I was like, I'll still be your mom. And he goes, no, Raya's mom can be our mom. And Maven was like, yeah, we'll take Raya's mommy. So they're apparently very comfortable finding a new mom if anything should happen.
And then Brie goes, and Nick can be our daddy if daddy dies. And they say this with big smiles.
Yeah, they're very cheerful about it.
They haven't wrapped their brain around death fully, and they love to talk about it. And it's weird and uncomfortable at times, but we let it slide.
I think it's good that they're talking about it.
Maven said to me today, I just sort of ignored it. We talked about a lot as we were walking back and forth. But she goes, if I die, I'll be sick. And then she goes, if Bryn dies, he'll be sick. And I'm like, is this a teachable moment or an ignorable
well,
moment?
Well, she was saying something similar when you went to the doctor today for a checkup. She was like, daddy sick? And I was like, no, he's just going for a checkup. And she was like, he has a cut? Like she says the funniest things.
Daddy has hypertension. So I had to print a thing today. We need new ink cartridges, by the way. And I printed.
Are you
this.
Telling me that like as if it's my job to figure that out?
I'm just saying it out loud so that both of us remember. So I printed this thing and it was like 15 pages, but we print wirelessly. So I was in our bedroom and I did it and I'd forgotten that I had turned the printer sideways. So all of the pages were dumping out onto the kitchen floor and so apparently it starts printing and Maven's in the living room and she comes into the kitchen and sees them and there's like 10 to 20 pages on the ground. And Maven comes running in and goes, Daddy, Daddy, the kitchen. There's so many doctor's notes.
I was hoping for a doctor's note callback. That's like the second time they've called that back, like after like 6 months have passed.
Well, I think we never use the printer. And when we do,
that's the only time they've seen us use it.
And print out a doctor's note to take them back to daycare. Now all printed pages are doctor's notes. That's really funny. I have a... You knows what they said, the darndest things, you knows. We went to the playground, and there's a great little playground in our co-op backyard. And there's a slide that does a poor job of, it traps water at the bottom. So whenever it rains, there's like always like a little puddle at the bottom of this slide. And every time we go, we can't ever use it because there's water on it. And we went down there the other day, and there was no water on it, which is rare. And Bryn went up to the top of the slide. He looked down, and he saw it, and he looked up at me, and he goes, Daddy, the slide, it's soaking dry! That is so funny to me. Soaking dry.
It's very funny. Maven was playing on a boogie board when we were at the pool, and she kept saying, I'm getting a boogie back ride.
A boogie back ride?
Yeah, she just made that.
I gave Maven a piggyback ride. Not a piggyback. I put her on my shoulders. As we walked back to pick up Bryn, she got tired near the end. I put her on my shoulders. And then we got there, and I took her off my shoulders, and I realized that my back was soaking wet in daddy sweat and Maven butt print. And I was really self-conscious because all the parents were there.
I'm sure they were very judgmental.
They're like, what a cool dad.
They're probably like, a dad out with his kids? Give this guy a medal.
There's a lot of dads there.
Look how sweaty this dad got for his kids.
Everyone put your kids down and clap for this dad. No, there's a good number of dads there. But it was clearly like all these parents that have this routine. Neither one of us are ever there to pick him up because he takes the bus back to daycare. And because we never see our children, because we're terrible people.
Most people have jobs.
Most people have jobs. But it was interesting because I showed up and it was part of the routine, and all the parents were like, oh, we know you from the few things you've shown up to, but it's never been this. And it was very exciting.
You were at the playground at the school? Or
yeah, you pick. Do you even know how to pick up our kid from?
I've done it like one time.
You pick them up.
That is the embarrassing thing about this year is how little I've been involved in his school. And there's so many other moms I feel like who like know each other sort of and like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Know things about the school. I've been really, really bad at it, but I don't really feel guilty about it. I feel like he's going to a good school. It's all going well.
Yeah. I got it covered.
I don't know.
It's all good. You know what? Kids say the woodsiest, darndest, you know what they're saying? Ding!
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
And now it's time for Weirdness This is where we talk about parenting stuff that...
Parenting fails.
That we get wrong.
So the most comical fail of this week was that we went to pick up our kids from daycare on Friday night.
It was an accidental not fail, but...
It was fine. Yeah. But we went to pick up our kids, and we were thinking we'll take them out to dinner or whatever and then go home. And we get there, and there's a full birthday party happening in the backyard of daycare for the son of the woman who runs it.
Yeah.
And it's like we slowly learn that it's been going on like kind of in the afternoon. It's like we're all invited, but that's the subtext of what is happening, that we're now there for a birthday party.
Yeah. And we never show up, the two of us together. So it looks like we intentionally came to this party.
What's happening.
I literally was walking up the driveway with a checkbook because I was like, oh, I got to write the check for July because we're going to be gone. And I'm writing a check, and in my side of my vision, I'm like, there's a lot of music going on. And then I pull the check out and I look up and there's a fucking party.
Well, what was funny is you stopped to write the check. So it took you a full like minute or two to come in behind me. And I'm like absorbing what's happening. And I'm like, oh man, Peter's about to walk over here and has no idea. There's this birthday party happening. No, like, so of course we know, we probably got an email at some point that said this.
No, we didn't.
Are you sure?
100%. They put things on the site, but there's no like, hey, new information is up there. Take a look. You have to, on your own, go to the website. Well, anyway, you don't know when it's updated.
This party was never spoken of to us directly at any point. And so...
And they're like, hey, you want a cheeseburger? I was like, I guess we're having dinner here.
Well, they kept keeping us there with more things. They're like, well, wait, you guys.
We tried to leave twice.
Like, do the cake. And then they're like, oh, no, wait, you have to do the pinata. And we were like, okay, yeah, like, we knew this was a party we're coming to. We're cool with staying another 15 minutes.
We did not bring a gift.
So by halfway through, I was like, oh, I just need to commit to this. I'm attending a party right now and eat a hamburger.
Yeah.
And it was fine. It was fun.
Well, it was really validating because one of the other kids' dads who we're friends with.
This is the funniest part, is he walks in and he like has a look of shock on his face. He clearly didn't know what's happening. And he turns to us and he goes, wow, I wasn't expecting it to be this festive. And I was like, oh, yeah, we didn't know this was happening at all. And then he was like, oh, yeah, me neither. But he had been trying to play it off as if he knew. He was like,
he was trying to play off his initial shock reaction.
He was like, this is normal thing that's happening. Okay.
Yeah. It was it took us a while to be like, where do we stand? Who do we talk to? Are we doing this? Are we committed to this? Are we leaving?
Yeah.
And they offered us cheeseburgers three times. I was like, no, we're good. And then finally I was like, I guess we're staying here. I'm going to have my children are eating hot dogs right now.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll eat here.
It was good. It was good to see some of the other parents of the kids, even though we didn't really meet people.
We did meet one who was really nice, and we found out works on the bus. It was like a bus monitor. So knows Bryn really well.
Yeah, she's nice.
Seen her every day. Seen him every day, and I liked her.
Yeah. Anyway, it was not really a fail, but it was definitely...
It was an accidental save.
We played it off flawlessly.
We're so cool.
This next segment is called Did You Knows? It's where we share some parenting information we found on the internet.
Here's some nice... you know what I mean? What are the words I'm looking for?
News.
Here's some news. I read this in the, I think, the Washington Post. And I think it's a bit... what is the word
the
I'm looking for?
The headline is that children have
started horns.
Spouting horns from the backs of their heads, supposedly because they're looking at their screens too much and their heads are bent over all the
Yes.
time.
So the kids who are growing up with phones in their hands, they're looking down so much.
Pressure on the skulls or the spine or whatever, and it
The weight is all off.
It creates bone spurs.
And so at the bottom of the skull, pointed down, there's like these, and sometimes really significant bumps that look like these insane little devil horns.
So I have to ask, I didn't read this article, but what kind of numbers are we talking about? Is this happened to like two kids or like what is the story?
No, it's I don't remember off the top of my head. It's significant enough where it's like if it's it's not like this huge epidemic, and these kids will probably be fine. But it is,
yeah, it's a not fascinating deadly, that, like, but you don't want your body to be so stressed out in one weird way that you're like becoming deformed.
Well, it's a sort of it's not. This is a there's a long history of human beings forcing their bodies to do repetitive things that they weren't designed to do.
Right.
As soon as like the agricultural revolution happened, as soon as we became farmers, like we were not designed to hoe a field, and like our whole bodies get fucked up as a result. Well, we're not designed to be at a desk all day and typing.
It's not even about the appearance. It's just like if that is happening to your body, it means you're probably in a lot of pain, which means you're not like tending to your own needs.
Yeah, you should.
It's just not healthy.
It's a. It's just a. You know. It's a. We should not be. I have no words for this thing. Shock. I'm trying to find. I'm trying to find a phrase like shock. The shock value of the. I give up.
The forest for the trees.
Forest for the trees is not at all what I was trying to say. But boy, don't look.
Well, I think that was what we're getting at is just the forest for the trees. Okay.
Just I'm not going to hand phones to my kids.
This is clearly our most well-researched segment of the show. So
you know what? It's rare that I read the whole article, but I read the whole article. That's not true. I read the whole article a lot of times. But Bryn found this iPod that I bought you for Christmas because you were like, I want a separate iPod that I can put on music through a speaker in their room, like when we're going to bed and stuff. And I'm like, sure, great. But then Bryn found it and he goes, oh, this is my phone. I'm like, no. And I was like, no, it's not. You don't get one. Not until you're 35.
I have mixed feelings about that because I feel like if they're going to live in this world where there's this much technology, it's like you have to let them have some exposure to understand their limits with it.
They already understand. I don't buy that because I haven't learned my limits, and it's one of the biggest problems in my life.
Well, okay.
If I was a kid, like, I couldn't deal with that.
I don't think we should just, like, hand them the iPod, but I think we need to give them basic ways of learning how to interact with technology, and I think there's got to be a way of, like, hacking the iPod or something else where you limit the use to something actually good, where your kids can understand how to use technology in a positive way.
Well, there's more and more of that of parental controls and stuff. But the thing is, I find with myself, I give myself a lot of limitations on my phone. I delete all the social media apps, and I make it really annoying and hard to get to things. And what I find is none of my social media apps can I do a deep dive on. Like, I limit how many people I follow, or I mute everything so that I just run out of stuff to look at. And my problem is I still look at my phone just as often, but then I run out of stuff and I'm just switching between things. And it's a little better because I'm like, I'm out of stuff to look at. But I'm still caught in the loop. I still have the impulse to go to it over and over and over.
But I think that's like, at some point, we have to teach ourselves and our children self-regulation and not, like, to notice when something's making you feel bad and you're using it in an addictive way, which hence, like, letting them eat way too much ice cream is just like, now do you understand why, like, you don't just need to consume, like, every bit of ice cream in sight?
Yeah, but you're talking about a lesson that I have not learned. I going to the doctor this week. I understand how it works.
I don't think deprivation, like, I don't think total deprivation is the way to go.
The only way I learn how to eat well is to not have access to the thing that's going to destroy my body. And this phone is perfectly designed to addict you to it. Addict you to it?
Well, here's what I wanted to start using the iPod for, which is why I plugged it in, is because I've been trying to figure out a way. So I had, this is sort of a side to what this segment was originally about, but I had this like late onset emotional reaction to Bryn not getting into Dos Caminos, the dual language program in town.
Yes.
Kindergarten program. As part of the public schools, and we were like, that's going to be so great if he gets in because he already knows Spanish at daycare, and then he'll just kind of continue speaking it and like hopefully never lose that. And he didn't get in, and I was like, oh, whatever. I guess it wasn't meant to be. And then like a month later, suddenly I was like so emotional about it because I think as kindergarten approaches in a couple months and we're now making plans for him to like fully leave daycare and go to this after-school program at the public school, it's like, oh my gosh, he's not going to be around anyone on a regular basis that speaks Spanish. Like, what do we have to do to make sure he doesn't lose this? And this was happening parallel to everything that's going on in the news with the border situation. And Bryn was saying like sweet things to me where we go through the school yearbook now that he has for pre-K, and he'll point to kids and be like, I know that kid. And like, he calls everyone his best friend, but he's looking at this boy and he was like, that's Eric. He's my best friend because he speaks Spanish. And I was just like, it was so adorable to me that they've been like speaking Spanish on the playground and that Bryn feels connected to all of the kids in his classroom, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just like, I was suddenly like overcome with the weight of him losing that ability to just connect with them, because like it or not, our country is becoming increasingly Spanish. And it's just like, we can't constantly
like it or not.
It just is.
I know.
Like, but we can't, like, we as white people, English speaking people, we can't just continue to like ignore it and like act like it's a one-sided thing where we never have to meet in between. You know what I mean? And it makes me feel guilty about my own lack of Spanish. And so I feel we've been trying to. So anyway, the iPod, I was charging it because I was thinking I really wanted to recreate the experience of being a kid where you have like those cassette tapes that you'd play along with a book that you would read.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, this is something the kids could do on their own without my help, but I could also listen to it and hopefully try to improve my Spanish pronunciation so I could be more supportive. You know what I mean? Because they already correct me on my pronunciation all the time.
Well, here's how I don't think there's anything wrong with those activities. But it's not like it's not going to do much. In terms of like trying to like retain the Spanish, you have to be around people speaking Spanish frequently to like really learn it. And so I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference.
No,
that being said,
I feel like at this point, if he's not in the program, there needs to be like one of many strategies where he feels like Spanish is a part of his day-to-day life.
Yeah. Well, I do think he is in a school where he's going to continue to be around Spanish-speaking kids.
I know, but I was like, he needs to be having like play dates and like activities where it cannot be so like English-focused all the time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, I do think even if there's a huge gap, and I think there will be a big gap between like significant being exposed to a significant amount of Spanish between now and when they actually teach you Spanish in school, which is way too late. Because as soon as you turn 12, that's when it becomes way harder, and that's when they start teaching languages.
Someone told me
he has like the foundation he has right now, that's gonna serve him when he's 12.
Yeah.
Like the vowel sounds, it's in his head, it's in his mouth.
Like, well, that's what someone told me. They were like, even if a kid loses a few years of Spanish, they'll still have those sounds and the ability to produce those sounds.
That's huge.
And I do think that's big, but I would just rather he doesn't lose a few years, because it's like, I want to keep a reminder of it there. And I also want to connect it with like him learning to write, where he feels like this is something he's going to be doing more, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm open to it, but I'm not as worried about it as you are.
Well, I just have like extra white guilt about it given the news cycle this week. And I also just think it's like a great thing in terms of community, I think, for him to feel connected to all the people around him, which in our town there is a significant Hispanic population. Yeah. And I also feel like it's a gift to him. Like, I wish I knew another language now, but like our country, like our public schools don't teach languages in a way or early enough where you really can master them without, unless you're, you know, like very naturally drawn to it.
Yeah, it's both, we've talked about this before, but both music and language are things that if you teach before age like 12, it's exponentially easier for kids to pick up those things, and we start teaching both those things exactly when it's not as easy.
I also feel like this is kind of like an egotistical mom thing, but Bryn is such a social person, so this speaking this language comes so naturally to him as sort of like a thing he wants to engage with, and like I sort of am like jealous of that ability in him to be so naturally social, and I would hate to like stifle that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, because he's, you know, whatever he ends up doing, he's going to be such a connector because he's just like, he's like lights up around other people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. We'll send him a year abroad when he's six.
Yeah, let's get rid of him.
I took 7 years of Spanish in school and remember almost nothing. Like, I can read it, but it was my weakest subject. But then I went to Brazil for a couple weeks. My uncle ran mission trips, and we went to Brazil, and I spent a week or two with host families that didn't speak any English, and it was all Portuguese. And I swear, like, by the end of 2 weeks, I knew more Portuguese than I ever learned Spanish in school, because I really connected with the performance of it. I mean, that's how you learn a language, out of necessity and actually seeing people's faces communicating. Because the majority of information being communicated between people is on your face. It's in your intonation. It's in your body. That's communicating intent, and words are secondary to that. And when you learn Spanish, it's just like all of that's removed, and it makes it. Or when you learn any language in school, so much of that is removed, and it's just infinitely harder. So let's send them to Mexico.
Sorry, you're just reminding me of the border situation all over again. It's just so...
Let's just end this segment with a collective sigh. Ready?
Oh, God. Anyway, my point is, people, call your senators and all your representatives and donate to races if you can. Keep applying pressure to our government, which could stop doing this if they wanted to. It's bad. And I just want to say one more thing, which is that this situation at the border, which claims to be sort of trying to preserve the safety of us, the taxpayers, and save money or whatever their racist justification they have, the reality is that it's costing us tons and tons of money, and it's only benefiting these private prison corporations, and it's pure cruelty. I don't know. Is this helpful for people to know? It's just, there's no reason for this. There's no logical reason for what is happening at the border. Yeah.
If you don't know what we're talking about, read up, Google it. It's all over there.
Yeah. Okay, my rant is over.
All right, now we'll go, now we can sigh to end the segment.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick.
I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
This next segment is called Listeners Want to Knows. It's where we take some questions and comments from you guys, the listeners.
All right. So this email has nothing to do with parenting. And I will admit, I referenced this, I think, last episode that we never talked about it. But I read this. The first time I read it, I rolled my eyes because of fault of my own. Because it's about how I don't drink water. This comes to us from Amber. Subject line, Peter's thirst problem. I have answers. Hello, Beth and Peter. Beth is going to love. Beth, of course, has been telling me for years, drink some water. And I'm like, I don't need to drink water. It's Amber in Philly. Loyal listener to your podcast since the beginning, but first time writing in. First off, I love the podcast and the laughs you two and your children give me on a weekly basis. So thank you for that. Last week, Peter was so thirsty and kept drinking water, but couldn't stop peeing and therefore perhaps blamed the peeing on not being able to quench his thirst. Be prepared for what I'm about to share. Peter, it may change your life. First and foremost, it is important that you don't let yourself get thirsty. If you feel thirsty, it means you're already dehydrated. With that being said, it is suggested you drink a glass of water when you wake up in the morning. Then just keep sipping water throughout the day. Make sure to stop drinking water at least 2 hours before bed.
This is making me need water.
maybe longer or shorter, depending on your digestive system, as every body is different. So that you aren't up all night peeing. Wow, Beth is literally getting water. This is unprecedented. Beth just got up and left. This has never happened. I'm going to keep reading because she knows this. Secondly, we all have been... Can you hear? She's getting water. We all have been told to drink 8 to 10 glasses of water a day, a glass here being 8 ounces. This has been shown to be extremely generic as our bodies are all different. Here's a better guidance. Take your weight, divide it by 2. And that is the number of ounces per day you need to drink of water to stay hydrated and to allow the optimal cell function. I weigh 110 pounds, so I drink at least 55 ounces of water a day. And for me, that is perfect. Third and final point is to not count coffee or tea or juice or soda in your water intake. I have had people tell me there's water in my coffee and my tea. I don't like the taste of water. So the who has said I don't like the taste of water?
Wait, who has said they like the taste of water?
Oh, who
they
has don't. Said I don't like the
I've
taste of water?
I've heard people say that. There's people I know of who will drink exclusively Pepsi. That's our friend's mom. There's people who drink like...
Because they're like, I don't like the taste of water?
There are people who... This is their rationale. They really don't like water.
It feels like people to me that are like, I hate the Beatles. I'm like, yeah, you just want to get a reaction out of us. Don't write in. Don't write in if you don't like the Beatles.
I don't know if I'd call the Beatles water in terms of like
I would.
A metaphor.
The Beatles are the water of music.
The essential element to our function as human beings, the Beatles. I will say I love water in a weird way, and so it is weird to me to hear people say that.
I mean, that's insane to me. This is false. I am quite confident the two of you know this, but perhaps your listeners can benefit from this information. I hope the above will help you, Peter, from further thirst as we head into the summer. Love the podcast. Love you all. Bye, Amber B. I heard that, first of all, you drink coffee and tea, and it's not that it's a net zero gain. Those things just make you pee more, and so you don't retain the liquid as much. I don't know if that's true, but I heard it and I care to believe it.
I don't know. All I know is I love drinking water.
Okay.
And I feel better when I drink more water.
This is, first of all, Amber immediately followed up that email with another email. Subject line, Peter's thirst continued. Forgot to write that I was, what I was getting at in my previous email. So if you drink the number of ounces of water for your body weight each day, every day, by week two, you shouldn't be peeing so much. Your body will adjust to the influx of water. If you find, however, that on a particular day, you're drinking water and are still super thirsty, grab a Pedialyte or Gatorade or Powerade to replace electrolytes most likely depleted from your body.
Well,
okay.
I just got this
really
new...
sane by this time, promise, okay. Amber.
Let me talk.
It's over.
I just got this new product someone recommended, which is... concentrated electrolytes, which is you just drop a few in a glass of water in the morning, and I'm so excited about it because I just feel like I always wake up dehydrated.
That the next day when I still felt dehydrated, I saw that and I put way too much in a glass of water.
Yeah, you're just really supposed to do a few drops.
I chugged half of it and almost vomited in the sink.
That's a classic you move.
Anyway, so I got this email, and Amber, first of all, thank you. That's all valid and helpful. But my initial reaction was the same as to when Beth tells me to drink water, which was, don't fucking tell me to drink water. I'm fine.
And then today you went to the doctor.
I went to the doctor and he went over all my test results. And aside from the cholesterol and the blood pressure that we're working on, everything else looked good. I was healthy. Except for one thing. And I don't remember what it was.
He just said,
that just means you're not drinking enough water. We should all be drinking more water. And I was like, I like my doctor. He won't shut up. I can't get a word in, but I love how wonkish he is about the details, and he's not alarmist about things. So I trust him. And so he's like, drink more water. You should have a canteen on you all the time. We should all drink more water. And I was like, God damn it. Amber's right. Now I got to read her email and admit to everyone that I'm wrong.
Now that it's summer, I need to be more consistent about keeping a canteen on me at all times.
I bought a bottle of water on the way. You'd be proud of me. I bought a bottle of water for our daughter. Because I was like, at least I worry about her getting dehydrated.
That's good. I'm impressed. I saw someone online this week tell a story of like how they left their baby home with their husband. It's like close to a newborn or whatever, and they were back to work. I don't know. It was a young baby, and the husband didn't feed the baby all day.
Which
was just like, I can see how it happens with babies because sometimes they have like weird day where they're not like. I don't know. Who knows?
But well, did they not try?
They just didn't think of it all day, which is insane. Like, I don't know. I don't know. But I think it's like a classic. I think it's a classic like new dad fail of to just be like, oh, my kids need food and things. Like, you know what I mean?
I don't
like,
want to judge too hard, but I do want to, though.
Well, when you were a new dad, I think you did stuff like this.
I did not
exactly
go,
this.
Sure. I did dumb things. I didn't think of things, but I think I definitely did never fail to feed them for an entire day.
Yeah, but you probably failed to feed them for like a few hours.
That's true. I will admit to that. I wish I could do that for myself.
Me too.
Oh,
no, I mean the reverse of that. I wish you could do it. I wish you could not do it for our children. But you don't. You feed them now.
Oh, yeah. No, I feed them. That's like half my life is feeding our children.
It never ends.
This episode's called Sigh. Why don't you send us an email and tell us something, share something, ask us a question? We haven't done a would you know scenario in a while. Why don't you send us an insane, impossible parenting hypothetical situation for us to unpack?
Send us an email at weknowspod@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 347-384-7396.
You can also leave us a review, a rating on the Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. We really, again, appreciate all the people that wrote in to review our podcast to say a very sexy podcast for parents.
Yes, we enjoy all of the sexy reviews of this podcast.
Please leave your sexy reviews.
And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at @WeKnowsPod.
We're on vacation next week, so I'm sure next week's going to be a weird episode. Because we're going to be in different places, but we're going to figure it out. So stay tuned for that exciting app. Until next time, we love you, babies. Wee, bye.
Bye.
Coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evolving education for a changing world. Expand your career opportunities and earn an MBA from University of Cincinnati Online Lindner College of Business. Designed for busy professionals, UC Online MBA is flexible, personalized, and supports students from application all the way through graduation. Get the world-class degree you deserve without sacrificing work or family commitments. Apply now at online.uc.edu/MBA.